Welcome to the Australian CISO, a podcast for current and aspiring chief information security officers and anyone interested in cybersecurity. My name is Richard Herron. I am the host of the Australian CISO and proud to think there are listeners in 38 countries of the world. All opinions you hear on this podcast are my own or those of the people being interviewed. They do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the companies that I or the interviewees are employed by. The podcast is recorded with Audacity using a Rode Podcaster microphone and hosted on Podomatic. Hi everyone and welcome back to the Australian CISO podcast, the podcast where we try to help you improve your security skills and also keep you informed of security events. This is episode 41 and today, pretty much hot off the press, we're going to cover the 2023 ASA Cyber Conference held during the past week in Melbourne. It may get into detail at times and then be quite high level at other times. There were so many concurrent streams that you'd need a small army to cover every session. So spoiler alert, I just cannot cover every session, but I will mix it up a little bit by mentioning one or two people I bumped into. I've just reviewed my notes and I'll have to turn this into two episodes, one just covering the first day and the second episode covering days two and three. The two episodes will be released within a few hours of each other, so hopefully you'll feel a continuity of it all. On to day one of the conference. Originally, I'd planned to meet some people before the conference actually started, but by the time we all reached the city and then walked to the conference centre, well, it was time to pick up the good old lanyard with QR code on it so we could get into the many sessions on offer. On my way to get my lanyard, I bumped into a couple of people I knew. First was Quan Woolridge, who I employed as an IT risk manager back in 2009, and then about a millisecond later, I bumped into friend of the podcast, Cyber Guy and presenter Darren Arnott. We all had to obtain our lanyard, so we walked down the hallway a bit, checked in with our QR code. No, it wasn't a QR code scam. Then we noticed the vendor area was in a different location from previous years. So we all wandered into the vendor area, grabbed a coffee, and had a quick look at the vendors. In the vendor area, the first two people I bumped into was Angelina Liu and Jim Cook from SentinelOne. We had a brief chat before everyone else headed back in the direction of the main conference room. Apart from the vendor area being in a totally different spot than last year, there was a bit of a weird setup this year when it came to the main conference room, well, at the start of the day anyway. There seemed to be only one or maybe two doors opened, so at one stage there was a lot of people who were just standing on the stairs waiting to be ushered in. I don't know what happened, whether they just didn't have enough people to usher us in or whether they hadn't planned it properly. Whatever the case was, it wasn't a smooth start to the conference. But in adversity comes opportunity, and it was an opportunity to strike up a conversation with Oricon CISO Mark Layton. Certainly a very nice guy, and it was good bumping into him at various other times during the conference. At the same time, I saw Vijay Narayan, the CISO from EPA. Then a minute later, I said a quick hello to Nigel Hedges from Kmart with some of his staff. The chairman of the ASA board, Damien Manuel, did the opening of the conference, and I must say he did a sterling job. Normally, he's pretty quietly spoken, but this time Damien really wowed the crowd with his welcome and some statistics he provided. Hopefully I heard this correctly, it costs approximately $6 million to put on the yearly conference. Richard, how could it cost $6 million, I hear you asking? Well, the hiring of the conference centre and 20 or so rooms over 3 days and all the catering and getting some keynote speakers into the country and their accommodation and everything else, that's where the $6 million figure comes from. Obviously, there are revenues involved, price of a conference ticket, areas the vendors use, which appear to be in the t-shirt sizes of small, medium and large, and obviously they pay more for the large than they do the medium and the medium-sized spaces than the small areas. And you think about all the sponsors and the merchandise ASA are now selling and other areas of revenue I just wouldn't have considered. So it is a big financial equation. Okay, so that was the start of the conference. The first speaker was 2023 Australian of the Year, Taryn Brumfitt. It would take me way too long to get in depth about her talk. Suffice to say that Taryn is a multi-talented person who tackled the issue of body acceptance. Basically, it was all about teaching people to love and appreciate their body. Is her talk going to improve how you do security? Maybe, maybe not, but it was entertaining and some of the lessons she imparted are transferable, whether it's in security or in life in general. One of her much repeated lines during the conference was, "Polite persistence breaks down resistance." I'll say that again. Polite persistence breaks down resistance. So that edict will help you in most cases, but it probably won't help you if you're faced with, say, a workplace psychopath. But you've got to give it a try, I guess. It was then time for a break, so a few of us headed into the vendor area because that's where all the food and coffee was. One of the first people I bumped into was Chris Bolan from Seamless Intelligence, or should I say Dr. Chris Bolan. Hi, Chris. I had a feeling he would have a great chance of winning ACES Professional of the Year, and that night he certainly did, as well as his company, Seamless Intelligence, winning an award. Well done, Dr. Chris, and your company. I also bumped into Lachlan McGill, General Manager, Cyber Risk and Compliance at the Salvation Army at this time. The next presentation I attended was Reflections of Being a CISO for 20 Years in an Organisation by Ben Doyle. So I sat down and there I am, sitting next to ex-co-worker Vishal. It's a small world and it was good to hear that he had secured a management role in cyber. Having had similar experience to the presenter Ben, it was interesting hearing about his journey over 20 years, hearing about his key learnings and what he considered to be the skills required to be successful. One of the activities CISOs have to become comfortable with is the beloved board reporting. So it was of interest when Ben talked about the specific topic. Ben's main points when it came to this topic were that boards have greater experience and organisation context that you may not even be aware of. One thing I can add to that is that many board members sit on more than one board, so they may actually be more knowledgeable about cybersecurity than you actually know. Another point Ben made was to treat your board experiences as a passive experience. Listen to what they have to say and, without any pun intended, take on board what they say. The board certainly want you to succeed, so be confident in your experience. Work with them. Ben's last point was, don't forget, board members are human too. At the end of his talk, I put this question to him. Ben, what is the most difficult thing that you have found doing security over the past 20 years? His response related to people, which didn't actually surprise me. Between you and me, security in itself isn't overly difficult. It's the people interactions that are the hardest bit. Anyway, back to Ben's response regarding the difficulty of security over the past 20 years. He said the hardest thing is people going around security. So I'm thinking cottage industries and what is known as shadow IT. So if the people had just worked with security instead of behind their backs, then the security team could have put in practical guardrails before the staff had implemented something that wasn't secure in design or in operation. After his talk, I quickly went into the vendor area before the next speaker, and who do I bump into? Leonard Kleinman, or Leo for short, who is the Field Chief Technology Officer from Palo Alto Networks. We had a quick chat before I headed to an 11:35 session, how to measure cybersecurity governance, overview of different approaches for evaluating cybersecurity governance, and this was conducted by Asif Dori from the University of Sydney. Hello to anyone from the University of Sydney who's listening. So he put up some interesting slides and discussed things such as the shifting approach to governance under a compliance-based approach, a risk-based approach, and a hybrid value-based approach. Slides that I'll have to look at and ponder over during the next few weeks. Another interesting slide he put up, and I won't do this justice as you just have to listen to him speak and see his slides, but the slide was titled Value Perceptions from a Case Study, and it stated, while most of the case study participants acknowledged that cybersecurity is a key enabler of business growth, they also acknowledged that the value of cybersecurity is not tangible and hard to demonstrate and quantify. So basically, how do you show real value as a cyber function? Is it just, hey, we haven't been breached type of statement? So I'll just repeat that statement so you can think about it again. While most of the case study participants acknowledged that cybersecurity is a key enabler of business growth, They also acknowledged that the value of cybersecurity is not tangible and hard to demonstrate and quantify. Ouch. Something that most of us, some of us, or all of us certainly have to think about. Then Asef put up examples of cybersecurity scores out of 100 for major international banks. Numero uno, with the highest average score of 91.6 between 2016 and 2020, was the Royal Bank of Canada. No real surprises to me. I was the regional information security officer for Australia over 20 years ago, and I can tell you this, the technology, processes, and thoughts that they were having way back then was years ahead of the pack. Admittedly, they did have a number of people around the globe and quite a bit of money to spend on security. For our Australian friends, Westpac came in second with an average of 88. Well done, Westpac. NAB came in sixth with an average score of 84. ANZ came in eighth with an average score of 80. And our friends from Commonwealth Bank came in ninth with an average score of 78.8. Remember, it probably doesn't matter what score it ultimately is, because, you know, one person just has to click a malicious link and you could be in a bit of trouble. But certainly, the higher the score does indicate that you've really raised the bar and it could be harder to break in. I don't know exactly how the scores were calculated, but the source of these stats is from a document called Governance of Cybersecurity, State of Play, authors V. McGrath, E. Sheedy, and the third author was, dare I say it, ready for it? The third author was, and I kid you not, F. U. If you Google Governance of Cybersecurity, State of Play, you'll find more information. Asef also talked about Standard & Poor's cybersecurity governance metrics and other approaches for measuring different aspects in cybersecurity governance. After that presentation, it was time to get something to eat, so everyone wandered back into the vendor land where all the food was. So it was quite a long lunch break, probably an hour and a half, but it gave everyone time to eat, socialise, speak to vendors, and to the ones who were interested, get a signed copy of Mikko Hyvönen's book. Mikko is a renowned security expert, although I hate the use of that word expert. He's also a speaker, I don't mind that word, and he certainly is an author, another word I don't object to. So during this time, I bumped into colleague Chris, who was drinking a coffee in his eco cup. Hello, Chris. And then he commenced eating the cup. Yes, you heard that right. The cup was so eco-friendly that it was edible. Not for me, thank you very much. I then bumped into Will Russon. Hope that's how you pronounce your last name, Will. Will works for the Benalla Rural City Council and is a bit of a jack of all trades. Good to see that his LinkedIn profile states future CISO. I think we're all future CISOs, you just have to aspire to it. And a bit like an athlete, you need to put in the hard work and map out a plan of attack how you're going to get there. My colleague Chris and I decided to head to one of my favourite vendors, SockRadar, where we finally met, and I know I'm not going to do justice to his name, but I'll try this. I think his name is pronounced Dojkin Igdiroglu, and one of his colleagues, Ali Uzun. SockRadar is a great product, and I think I've directed two or three people their way. They were so impressed they bought the product within a week. I'll place a photo of us meeting them in my LinkedIn group called The Australian CISO. But again, guys from SockRadar, I do apologise for mispronouncing your name. I'll get it right one day. A few minutes later, I quickly bumped into Kendall Watt from Abnormal Security. Another photo I'll put in The Australian CISO LinkedIn group. I reckon I took two more steps and I bumped into aspiring security analyst Lynn Bell, who I used to work with in a retailer many, many moons ago. Good luck, Lynn, with your aspiration to crack it into this ever-growing and exciting industry. So, time to get back into a conference session. I walked up the hallway to the main conference area, and wouldn't you know it, I bump into another guy I know from Vendorland. This time, David Shisho. His last name sounds like a person after a few drinks pronouncing CISO, Shisho, but in typical form, I've probably mispronounced his name. I knew him when he was at Skybox Security, and now that he is at Vectra AI, quite a good product, if I do say so myself. I somehow managed to make it to another talk without bumping into anyone else I knew. Hallelujah. The next talk I went to was Bridging the Gap Between Risk and Controls by Mattia Rossi from Ignitize. His talk was all about common gaps in security assessments and exploring common gaps in exposures and risk management. One of his slides was titled, How Do We Create Risks That Are Not Relevant? The answer being, we blindly follow frameworks, control sets, and I'm guilty, I can't disagree with him there. Personally, I think if you were really to go through the 114 controls within the 27001 framework, you'd probably find that, say, 40 were the ones that were truly required, not all 114. Having said that, it's not bad to be able to demonstrate that you've got the 114 controls in place. He talked about what the business wanted to know about risk, i.e. how bad is the risk? How much of the organisation will need to change to remove the risk or reduce the likelihood or impact? How much work is required to reduce the risk? What are the options to reducing the risk? He put up a funny 5x5 matrix that some of you may have seen where the residual risk went from she'll be right to a certain word starting with F. It was actually quite funny to see it and the audience did get a giggle out of it. Mattia then talked about a risk hierarchy with different threat categories, examples, and impacts. He also showed us a cause and effect diagram. I can't remember whether he showed us one, but I have used what is known as a bow tie diagram, which is a pretty cool diagrammatic way of explaining a particular risk, its causes, controls, etc. I then needed another coffee, so I went to vendor area and bumped into a fellow worker and volunteer for the day, Wasim Rafihi from Frontier Software. It was good to see him really enjoying himself in his volunteering capacity. He is studying a Cert 4 in cyber and does want to break into the industry, so his volunteering stint will help his networking knowledge and his resume. Well done, Wasim. Whenever anyone gives up their time to help others, well, I think we all appreciate that. However, I had to run away from Wasim, not because he was annoying me or anything. It was just to attend ex-podcaster and cyber guru at Ceridian, Louisa Vergelenzang. I've probably mispronounced her last name again. Sorry, Louisa. You know who you are. Louisa's talk was quite interestingly titled, Shining a Light in the Darkness, Celebrating Our Progress and Empowering Cyber Defenders for the Long Haul. Now, there's an interesting presentation title if I ever saw one. So, the thrust of this presentation was all about why do we talk so much in the negative about cyber? Here's some classic examples, and as I read them out, I'm sure the penny will drop for you. All it takes is one click. You are only as secure as your weakest link. Cyber criminals are always one step ahead. It's not a matter of if, but when. And of course, the classic, attackers only need to be right once. We need to be right all the time. So recognizing that there are things we just can't control, such as humans, nation states, zero-day attacks, and cybercrime in general, we can change our negative talk. I think Louise is right. Personally, I have uttered all those negative statements, and it doesn't overly make you feel better about the cybercrime situation. I'll leave Louise's talk there. She did mention other items, but that was the major thrust of it. So that brought us up to 3:10, at which time it was afternoon tea time. I headed down there and bumped into some more people I knew, Indika Wimalasiri, the CISO from Beyond Blue. Then 2 minutes later, we bumped into Maria Petrarakis and Georgia Sol from Tesserent, as well as Dan Maslin from Monash University. After we all had a bit of a chat and a laugh and took a few photos, it was time to go back to the presentations. I chose to attend KPMG's Mitra Menai's topic titled From Metrics to Momentum, Driving Board Engagement in Cyber Conversations, Demonstrating the Business Value of Cybersecurity to the Board. So Mitra went through AICD's cybersecurity governance principles and the board's role, setting the cybersecurity strategy, knowing your business, evaluating your current state, identifying gaps, setting future target and benchmarks. She then discussed translating cyber vulnerabilities into risks. After the presentation, I headed down the escalator, and yes, wouldn't you know it, you probably guessed it, I bumped into a couple of other people I knew, Jason Ha from the Ethan Group, and Mark Trumbull, Fujitsu's APAC Head of Cyber Security Portfolio. I dealt with him, geez, a good 15 years ago when he was at Dimension Data. I did miss Fred Thiel's discussion. a Sizo's Guide to the Galaxy. It sounded really interesting and I would have loved to have attended it, but alas, the planets weren't aligned at the time. Anyone who can tell me about his presentation or perhaps send me some screenshots, I'd love to see them. So that brought us to the end of day one of CyberCon 2023 and the end of this episode. Stay tuned for the next episode where we will cover days two and three of CyberCon 2023. Until then, it's a big goodbye from me. Surely I won't be bumping into anyone else I know on days two and three. We'll see. Okay, I'm just about to record part two. Hopefully you will hear it soon. See ya.